Hi, I'm Phil Vavra, and this is Piedmont Arts. Founded in 2022, the State Line Community Orchestra is based, as its name suggests, near the border of North and South Carolina, in Pineville, North Carolina. It's made up of talented volunteer musicians who come from all walks of life. A lot of them live in the South Charlotte, York County areas, but some travel a bit farther to be a part of this special group of players. On this episode, I'll be speaking with State Line Community Orchestra's conductor, David Gordon. And later on, I'll have your weekly rundown of local and regional events and activities with Fanfare. Thanks for listening. My guest on this episode is conductor and music educator David Gordon, who joined the State Line Community Orchestra in September of 2022. David graduated from the University of South Carolina with a doctorate degree in orchestral conducting in 2023. While at USC, David taught introduction to music and created the university's first introduction to video game music course. He also served as the interim conductor for the South Carolina Philharmonic Youth Orchestra for the 2023 spring semester, and he's currently a part-time instructor of music at Central Piedmont Community College and teaches music at Devonshire Elementary in Charlotte. That's a lot. Thanks for taking the time to come speak to me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So according to the timeline, you were still in your doctoral program when you started working with the State Line Community Orchestra?
Yes, that is correct.
So how much conducting experience did you have at that point?
Actually, quite a bit. I had been conducting, for about 9 years prior to that in various capacities, going all the way back to my undergrad.
So what was your musical background before that? Which instrument did you start playing first?
So I started on the trumpet all the way back in fourth grade. So I guess music has always been around me, but fourth grade, I started on the trumpet. And I took the trumpet all the way into college. And I studied trumpet as an undergrad, but it was there where I kind of transformed my path from trumpet into conducting.
And the phrase "all walks of life" has come up regarding the members of the State Line Community Orchestra. So you have a musical background going back to the fourth grade, you said.
Yes.
The seed for the State Line Community Orchestra was actually planted by an amateur oboist and occupational therapist, Donna Swalen.
Swalen,
who moved to this area from Chapel Hill.
That is correct.
What about the backgrounds of some of the other musicians that you work with in the State Line Community Orchestra?
Yeah, it's really a fascinating group of people from all walks of life, as you said. And I think that is absolutely true. We have musicians of all ages. I think the youngest is a sophomore in high school currently, all the way to retired peoples who are picking up their instruments after years of being in the closet, dusting them off and having a chance again at pursuing one of their passions throughout life. We also have professional musicians who perform as professionals or who teach in some capacity in and around the Charlotte area. So it's really a special place, this community orchestra, really bringing people from all over the community.
So is it harder to manage a volunteer orchestra as far as musicians having, you know, other work and school responsibilities?
It can be. So that's kind of the balancing act. You have to walk with a community ensemble. Fortunately, I've experienced being a community musician myself, and that's informed how I kind of lead it as a conductor and my expectations for the group. Yeah, you do have to kind of have a little more patience in some regards. You do have to give a little more grace, and you do have to give a little tolerance in different aspects of the performance. But there is so much else that springs forth through a collection of people who are doing it primarily for fun and enjoyment.
Yeah, I would guess scheduling would be the biggest challenge, and maybe you don't have everyone at every rehearsal because something else comes up in their life.
Yeah, that's totally a challenge, scheduling. You know, fortunately, we've carved out this nice little block of time on Tuesday nights in Pineville where we've rehearsed for about 3 years, and people have kind of like built their schedules, thankfully, around our rehearsals and concerts. But yeah, we have to give a little more grace when people have excuses.
Sure. How many other volunteer or amateur orchestras and ensembles are in the greater Charlotte area that you know of?
There are many. Thankfully, there's a wonderful website called Charlotte on the Cheap, which I'm sure you are aware of and many of the listeners are aware of.
Of course.
That published a whole list of all the community ensembles in Charlotte. That's how I found State Line Community Orchestra back in September 2022. I recently moved to the Charlotte metropolitan area. And I was looking for a group to kind of get involved with as my doctorate program was concluding. And so I put my feelers out there. You know, I found this kind of obscure community orchestra, and I emailed them, and fortunately, they responded almost immediately, and the rest is history. But amongst them, there are, I think, two other community orchestras that people can choose. But the reason why Donna wanted to start the State Line Community Orchestra is because in the South Charlotte area, there really isn't many options for amateur musicians wanting an orchestral experience. So while there are others in North Charlotte or West Charlotte, you know, there really wasn't an opportunity in South Charlotte.
So are there any folks in the orchestra who are traveling a pretty long distance to get there?
There are.
Yeah.
And which is something that I'm incredibly grateful for. There are people from Gaston County, Union County, York. So we do have a reach that goes well beyond the Charlotte-Mecklenburg area. And it's a testament to the value that community music gives to people and this opportunity and how scarce it can be. So that's another reason why Donna was incentivized to create an orchestra here.
Yeah, clearly the passion is there. I look back at programs from some of your past performances,
yes.
And you've had a wide and interesting variety of themes to your concerts. Big
yes.
orchestra works, musical theater, movie soundtracks, a concert of pieces by women composers, holiday music when that time of year rolls around. So what's on the horizon for the next season of the State Line Community Orchestra?
Yeah. I can't take all the credit for programming. My fiance, who plays principal flute in the orchestra, has a lot of wonderful opinions on what we should play. And more often than not, I do like to honor her suggestions. We also have a fantastic board of musicians who are musicians in the orchestra themselves. At current, we don't have any non-musician board members, so that's something we're proud of at this moment. But on the horizon, we're about to start our third full season as a proper performing orchestra. By season, we're defining it as a fall, winter, spring, and summer concert. So roughly 4, maybe 5 concerts a year will constitute our season. And this season, we're starting it off with dances from around the world. Let's see, we have Samuel Coleridge Taylor's Danse Negra from his African Suite, the fourth movement. We're doing the Polonaise by Tchaikovsky from Eugene Onegin. We're doing two of Brahms's Hungarian dances. We're doing Saint-Saëns, Danse Macabre. And our big piece, Smetana, Dance of the Comedian from his opera, The Bartered Bride. But our big piece that we're doing for this season opening program is Danzon No. 2 by Arturo Marquez.
And most of your performances, are they still going to be at Pineville United Methodist Church?
Yeah, that is our home base. They've been so good to us, so generous with their space for us, and we're so grateful for them. But we've also performed in 4 other venues in and around the Charlotte area. This concert, the season opening concert, we're doing at Carolina Orchards. And then we're doing the concert for everybody 2 days later at Pineville United Methodist Church.
Okay. And people want to find out more and get tickets and all of that, just go to the website?
Yes. Go to the website. We have a website, statelineorchestra.org. But currently, we're not doing tickets. As interesting as that sounds, it's kind of a model that's inspired by a previous orchestra that I've worked with. But our concerts are free and open to the public, and that's an important value to us to make orchestral music more accessible to our community. We do, gratefully, I should say, accept donations, and people can donate during the concert or can donate through our website. But it is kind of one of our founding values to keep our concerts free.
Now, in your other life, you're a music teacher at both Central Piedmont Community College and Devonshire Elementary School in Charlotte.
Yes.
What sorts of things do you get to teach?
Well, yeah, those are two wonderful corners of my life right now. Devonshire Elementary, that's my full-time job, and I teach K through 5 general music. And I am just about to start my 3rd year there. And it has been a fun and fantastic journey that I didn't envision myself going into, but I'm so grateful to have had the opportunity to participate in.
Now, with the kids at Devonshire, is it singing? Are they playing recorders?
They are. They're doing both,
yeah.
All of the above. I mean, I get to do so many wonderful things. And our principal there, he's a musician and a trumpet player himself. So he really gives me a lot of freedom in how I want to teach music there, which has been wonderful.
Nice to have that in your corner, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we do singing, a lot of dances, movements. We have a wonderful wealth of percussion instruments. We do the ORF instruments, so mallets, marimbas, glockenspiels, all those sorts of things. I'm trying to build a keyboard program there, so I'm accepting donations if anybody has keyboards just lying around. I'm trying to build a perimeter of keyboards around my classroom for the students because they all love keyboards.
Forget about the yard sale. Send them to David.
And one more thing. Yeah. Speaking of recorders, I have been doing recorders. And last year, our recorder program really took off. And a large part of it was because of the generosity and the initiative of WDAV. About a year ago, I reached out to WDAV because you guys have a recorder donation program. Mm-hmm. And I received 90 brand new recorders from you guys, which totally revitalized and re-energized our recorder program. And it went from being dormant my first year to being something that I'm proud of and the students are proud of my second year.
Thank you for sharing that, because that's something we like to tell the audience, that when they choose to give at that level, that really does have an impact right here in our area, and that is setting up the future of music.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which, if we zoom out a little bit, how do you feel about the future of music education in America?
Ooh, that's a
big zoom out, I guess.
Yes, yeah. That is a lofty question. I am optimistic about the future of music education in America. It's a little daunting, to be completely honest, because, I mean, this isn't anything new, but there always seems to be the threat of funding cuts just around the corner. And we know, as teachers in the arts, that our programs can be amongst the first to go. Fortunately, our jobs are secure as music teachers in North Carolina, and that's something I'm very grateful for. And I've seen the fruits of that labor. I've seen it transform lives at Devonshire. I've seen it through the teachings of my fiance, who taught at middle school band for the past 2 years. I've seen it go on through band. And I see how it impacts lives at the college level through Central Piedmont, and how people continue to pursue music in one way or another through State Line Community Orchestra. So I have a unique vantage point where I can see it from the very beginning through a person's life, how they use and continue to explore musical passions.
My guest has been David Gordon, conductor and music educator. And to find more information about the State Line Community Orchestra, including future performances, you can visit statelineorchestra.org. Thanks so much for being here, and best of luck with all of your ventures with the orchestra and with your teaching.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now let's look at what sorts of events and activities are coming up over the next week with Fanfare. As a singer, pianist, composer, and bandleader, Bruce Hornsby has drawn upon a wide range of musical traditions to build an acclaimed body of work going back to his chart-topping days of the 1980s. Bruce Hornsby and the Noisemakers will be performing with the Charlotte Symphony Orchestra at the Amp Ballantyne on Friday, September 26th at 7 p.m. It's going to be a busy weekend for the North Carolina Baroque Orchestra with three performances of Autumn Leaves, a musical celebration of the changing of the seasons. The program includes Vivaldi's Autumn from the Four Seasons, Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 4, as well as Concerti for Two Oboes and Two Recorders by Telemann and Vivaldi. Performances are Friday, September 26th at 7 p.m. at Wesley Memorial Methodist Church in High Point, Saturday the 27th at 3 p.m. at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Winston-Salem, and Sunday the 28th at 3 p.m. at St. Patrick's Episcopal Church in Mooresville. These are free concerts, but donations are gratefully accepted. This could be a great early holiday shopping opportunity. Over 50 of North Carolina's top ceramic artists, including more than 30 from Western North Carolina, will be at the Mint Museum Randolph in Charlotte for the Potter's Market at the Mint on Saturday, September 27th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. UNC Charlotte is hosting its annual International Festival at the Barnhart Student Activity Center on Saturday the 27th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Over 35 nations will be represented at the Marketplace-style event, including dance performances, a parade of nations, and more. Admission and parking are free. Blumenthal Arts is presenting two big shows at Knight Theater over the next week. The Grammy Award-winning Steep Canyon Rangers will be there on Saturday, September 27th at 8 p.m. The Western North Carolina-based bluegrass band is also known for their collaborations with Steve Martin. Time Sawyer will be the opening act. Then, Lyle Lovett and his acoustic group will be there on Monday the 29th at 7:30 p.m. Meanwhile, Ubbins Auditorium has the one and only John Cleese on Tuesday, September 30th at 7:30 p.m. Not Dead Yet, John Cleese and the Holy Grail at 50 will feature a special screening of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, followed by conversation and an audience Q&A with the Monty Python alum. And the World Ballet Company is presenting the timeless fairy tale Cinderella at Ovens Auditorium for one night only on Wednesday, October 1st at 7 p.m. And there's plenty more on my complete fanfare column at WDAV.org. Thank you for listening. You can also hear past episodes and subscribe at WDAV.org/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and on iHeart Podcasts. For Piedmont Arts, I'm Phil Vavra.